thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast. Brother Ralph Craig opens the musical part of our broadcast service. We trust his selection will be a blessing to you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever.
The scriptures teach us, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Jesus came to open the prison house and to set the captive free, and Jesus Christ did not come in vain. He will deliver any soul that will call upon him in true repentance. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the grace of God and for all of your rich blessings to us. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today. As you see each one, we pray that you'll minister to them according to their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual, for we know that you are a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of might, and a God of power. So bless this precious congregation. Use this broadcast to encourage and to help souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, the reality and necessity of grace. And our text of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The usual definition for the word grace is unmerited favor, and of course that is a correct definition, but it does not fully explain all that the word means. Vine, in his expository dictionary, says, that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard on the part of the bestower, the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds, graciousness, loving-kindness, goodwill generally, especially with reference to the divine favor or grace. First of all, we notice that Jesus Christ had the grace of God, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. We understand the word grace in this passage of Scripture to mean favor, that he grew in favor. Paul said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man," Colossians 4 and 6. "Let all your conversation be such as may tend to exemplify and recommend Christianity. Let it not only be holy, but wise, gracious, and intelligent." So someone has said, and that's a quote, and let me quote it again. "Let all your conversation be such as may tend to exemplify and recommend Christianity. Let it not only be holy, but wise, gracious, and intelligent." Grace, in respect to salvation, is a summary of all God has done to affect the salvation of man. And that covers more than just one thing. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God's grace is for us and for salvation is a summary of all God has done to affect or to bring about man's salvation. And of course, that would include God giving his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world through him might be saved. And we know that it is the love of God through the workings of the Spirit of God that a sinner is brought to Christ. For Jesus said, "No one can come unto me except the Father which has sent me." And so, though God gave his only begotten Son, and his Son gave his life, which of course is a great expression of the grace of God, but it also takes the convicting, drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And whenever we come to God, we must, for salvation that is, we must come with a broken and a contrite heart. And again, this is the workings of the grace of God. When the Spirit of God visits an unsaved person, convicts them of their sins, that is one of the manifestations of the grace of God. God's grace in providing salvation is extended to all of mankind. Now, I realize there are religions in the world that teach the predestination doctrine, and I know I also mention this quite often on the broadcast because I think it is something that needs to be emphasized. God did not predetermine who would be saved and who would be lost before he made this world. God determined that whosoever will may come. And Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And again, John 3:16-17 says, "God so loved the world," and that's talking about the world of people. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not to a select few, but to all men." And the word men here is talking about the family of man, not just the male factor in the family of man. But all men, women, boys, and girls are offered salvation through the gift and grace of God. God is no respecter of persons, and Jesus died for all. The grace of God shows us that salvation is not of works. And our text also tells us that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our text, Ephesians 2:8-9. The Reader's Digest carried an interview with Muhammad Ali, the former boxer, and he had converted to Muslim religion, And they were questioning him in reference to his eternal welfare, I suppose. And he said, well, I consider this, that if my good deeds outweigh my bad, then I'll go to heaven. And if my bad deeds outweigh my good, then I will go to the other place or be lost. But, beloved, I want to emphasize the fact we are not saved by works. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Once we sell ourselves to sin, we will be in bondage to sin until Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, sets us free. Yes, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. It is quite true. After we are saved, we must have works, and those works must be through the grace of God, and we must bear the fruit of the Spirit. But we're not saved because we give so much, as the man in the parable that Jesus gave went up to the temple and stood there boasting about how often he fasted and how he tithed and how he did this and how he did that. He came there a hypocrite and he went home a hypocrite. The other man that Jesus told us about bowed his head. He didn't even feel worthy to lift his head heavenward. He bowed his head, he smote his breast, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went home justified. So we're not saved by works. We are saved by and through the grace of Almighty God. Grace teaches us some things, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yes, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. While the devil is loosed, while the devil is able to tempt and try, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And again, the grace of God will enable us to do this. The Word of God, the grace of God, does not require anything that the Word and the grace of God will provide us to overcome and to do. God is not an unreasonable God. He's not an unjust God. And he does not expect, nor does he require of us, the impossible. What he does teach, what he does require, what his word teaches, he'll give us the grace to do it. The Apostle Paul sought the Lord three times to have a certain thing removed, and the answer that he got from the Lord was, my grace is sufficient for you. And I don't believe that was limited to the Apostle Paul. I believe that the grace of God is sufficient for everyone who will take advantage of it. Now, there is a great need for the grace of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And once we sell ourselves to sin, there's no way that we can deliver ourselves from the prison house. We must have God's pardon. We must have Christ's redeeming grace. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all need the grace of God. They need the grace of God extended to them. And again, God has extended his grace to anyone and to everyone who will take advantage of it. Since man sold himself into the bondage of sin, all are under the servitude of sin, and they are under the sentence of death. Yes, Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And the Lord said in Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, so also the soul of the Father is mine, the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God told Adam and Eve, and the day that you eat the fruit of that tree, you shall die. So whenever we knowingly and willingly commit sin against God, it brings death to the soul. And I'm not talking about annihilation. Death, spiritually speaking, is separation from God. To be separated from God is to be separated from the source of life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Therefore all have sinned, and all stand in need of the grace of God. For the wages of sin is death, and we cannot deliver ourselves, we cannot resurrect ourselves from the dead state of sin. Paul said, "You hath he quickened," talking about the Lord, "you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Being reckoned with God, being resurrected, being quickened, is only by and through the grace of God. And I might add here, whenever we are saved from sin, whenever we are resurrected from the dead state of sin to life in Christ, that is the first resurrection. These millennialists, literal kingdom teachers, who teach that the first resurrection is the physical resurrection of the righteous, is missing the mark. They are teaching error. The first resurrection is deliverance from sin, resurrection from the dead state of sin to life in Christ. You hath he quickened who were dead. And Paul goes on there in Ephesians 2 and tells us what he's talking about. That salvation is the grace of God. And it is through salvation that we are resurrected and are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, God, in his matchless love and grace, provided the ransom price for our sins. For he hath made him, talking about Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Now, that does not mean that Jesus Christ sinned. It means that Jesus Christ took our sins, bore our sins. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Peter said, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Isn't it sad that so many are taking the blood out of their songs, out of their sermons? But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, Jesus Christ died upon that cross. He shed his life's blood. He gave his life so that we could have life. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is possible only through the grace of God. We ought to be grateful for the loving kindness, favor, and grace of God, and we should show our gratefulness by loving him and by serving him. One who loved us so much, one who gave his only begotten Son for us, we should indeed love him in return. This is indeed the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. If we really love him, Jesus said, we would serve him. He that loves me will keep my commandments. And he said, he that keepeth my commandments, I will come to him, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So whenever we are saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, and we love the Lord, and we want to please him. We do not desire to displease him in any way. love Him, and show our love and our devotion to Him by living for Him, by doing those things that are pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but through the love of God. Father, we do thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You that we have been saved by the grace of God, and that we have the privilege of being a child of God and living for Thee day by day. And we know that this is possible only through Your grace. Now we ask You to bless our precious congregation, the scriptures that we have given, the thoughts that have been presented. We trust that they will prove to be a blessing and a help to precious eternity-bound souls. For we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, why not let us know? It would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. Our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. And you can communicate with us on our webpage. Regardless of how you communicate, whether you write us a letter or email or fax, or get on our webpage and send us a message, we would be thankful for you to let us hear from you and to know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. I would also invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6 in the evening. That's Eastern time, and our services are broadcast live over the Internet. Our midweek service is also broadcast, and it begins Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.